Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and today it's another in the series from Odd Camp 11. Yes, I know, a year and a half ago. Today's interview is with Marie Assen, who is from Flatter. Again, apologies to all the people who had delayed interviews as a result of my incapacity to be able to release them. Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and this is possibly, I know the last one was the last one I said I was going to record, but we found somebody else to to record. You were presented to me as the Flatter person. Can you tell us a bit, first of all, who are you and why are you here?
Hi, my name is Marie, Marie Axelsen. Online I go by the name Maloki.
Yeah.
I work at Flatter. And why I'm here at Odd Camp, you mean then, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to, and I've been like listening to Linux Outlaws, and there were three camps this weekend, like CC Camp, the Case Computing Club in Germany, and Odd Camp, and there was the Sweden Social Web Camp.
Yeah, you're from Sweden, so obviously you have to go to that.
And I want to go to everything, but I chose Odd Camp, and here I am.
Okay. You work for Flatter, do you?
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners, if they don't already know, what Flatter is?
Well, basically, it's the social way to get paid. Our idea is that a donation should be an easy thing to do. You shouldn't have to think about it. So you get a flat rate fee, or not a fee, but you decide how much you want to donate each month. And at the end of the month, when you've been around telling us what you want to donate to, we'll split it evenly. And if you want to add an extra donation, you can do that to a profile as well.
So it's essentially, you say to yourself, well, here's 10 euros or 10 pounds or whatever. I want to donate to good causes or to websites, and you go and you press the Flatter button and you slice that pie.
Yes.
Pie or cake?
Cake is not a lie in this case.
What's wrong with a pie?
But it's the cake.
Yeah, but a lot of our listeners are US, so they wouldn't know what a cake is. It's got to be a pie.
Okay, but they wouldn't
tart.
Know.
Tart! It's a they tart! Would...
Yeah, okay.
So, you seem to be supporting a lot of open source projects.
Well... Actually, it's not we who support it, it's the users of the open source projects that support it, or the people who are involved with it.
Yeah.
We support anything that would get support, basically. When WikiLeaks got kicked off, well, not kicked off, but, you know, suspended from PayPal and MasterCard and Visa, we still gave them donations.
Yep.
And we have verified that it's them who get the money, so...
Okay, so so it's a good way, it's for your charitable organization, charitable donation. I know a lot of the people in the US will require, you know, get tax breaks if they give to charitable donations, but is that possible even via Flatter?
We have a few charities, and for if you donate to a charity, we will not take a fee, because we take the fees from the user who received the money, basically. So if you have a charity account, there will not be a fee, which usually is like 10% otherwise, that we want to lower. But micro donations, if you compare it to any other way of donations, we're still like a chic way to do it, because you can just spread it out and don't really think about how much it's going to cost you per each.
So I guess if you're like a poor struggling student, you can put in your €1, and if you're a rich businessman, you can put in €1,000.
It actually has to be between €2 and €100 a month.
Okay.
But you can put in more money in advance, and then you know you have money next month.
Okay.
So that's a good thing. You don't have to have money each month in your own bank account.
So it's essentially a way to give back to the community, whatever that community
happens
to be.
Yeah, exactly. For those who were at my talk, they would have heard that I said, how does this connect to FOSS?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a way to give back to the community without expecting anything in return. When you contribute to a project within FOSS, it's like you give what you can give, your knowledge,
documentation.
Yeah, you know, you give what you can.
At some point, there's the end of the line that I can't contribute.
And when it comes to Flutter, you might give a beer or, you know, what you can.
Yeah.
So a few, some money.
So it's essentially a way of buying somebody a beer for good software.
Yes. I think most of us have heard the story about the guy who found the guy who fixed the bug for something and made sure that there was a beer at his local bar waiting for him.
I never heard of that.
Okay. I don't know it exactly.
Never let the truth stand in the way of the story. You should know that.
Yeah. Basically, there was like a long-lived bug that didn't get fixed. And when someone finally fixed it, a guy was really happy that he had. So he made sure that he found out like where the local bar was for the guy who had fixed the bug. And called him up and like fixed so there would be a beer waiting for him. When he got there the next time.
Is that the inspiration behind Flutter?
It could be part of.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't part of that process because it's been an ongoing thing for a lot of years.
So where did it start and who runs it? Tell us more.
I don't know exactly where it started, but one of our founders is Peter Sunde, or Broke App, from the Pirate Bay.
Yes.
And he's been thinking about this for several years, that he wanted to help people be able to pay for what they like. So that's basically the idea. You want to support what you like.
Yeah.
It's kind of a natural thing.
Yes.
And he wanted it to be easy to do that.
And I guess this is why you, coming from Sweden, are involved in it, given that the
part of it is
essentially a Swedish organization.
I guess it was just pure luck that it was a Swedish organization, like Flutter. I started as a promoter or evangelist like a year before I got hired.
Uh-huh.
First time I heard about Flutter, I said, could this save WikiLeaks?
Did you know?
Yes, I did. So when they got on WikiLeaks, a few months later, like 6 months later, I was thrilled because I thought, like, I might have planted a seed here ages ago. And I kept on promoting and eventually got a job to continue doing what I was doing.
That is absolutely fantastic. And a lesson there for all of us in the
Yes, in the community. Support what you like and you might be lucky. You should actually go and watch like Lorna Jane's talk.
Yeah.
Because.
And the link to the, obviously for the people listening at home, there will be a link in the show notes to put your talk and her talk.
Oh yes. Yeah. Definitely. Because her talk moved me to tears.
What was that talk about?
Jobs within, like a career within open source.
Yeah.
And she basically talked about if you're dedicated and if you contribute, you'll have a chance to get a job. Is not a secure card, but you will have the chance, and a bigger chance than if you didn't. And she basically told my story, so I was basically almost crying.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And I'd just like to point out now here for our listeners at home, given the obligatory plug-in for Hacker Public Radio, there's nothing looks better on a CV than I've contributed a show to a podcast network on something that I'm passionate about. It shows in an interview that you're passionate about something, and it's really, really easy to contribute. Just go to hackerpublicradio.org/contribute, and you can then with
with your hand on your heart, you can say, yes, I'm a podcaster, and I've contributed back to the open source community, and obviously Flutter is another way to do it. What sort of hardware do you run in the back office? Can you explain to me a little bit about that, or are you just going to say, I don't care, it works?
I actually do not know.
I imagine it's open source.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if we're running Windows servers.
No, we don't run Windows servers. It's probably Linux servers. And we have them at our office, and we have assistant admins available. But, you know, I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say and what I can say.
No, no, so, let's not go down that road. Yeah. What was the best part of the weekend for you? Was it worth your while coming over here?
Oh, it was definitely worth my while. This is, personally, it's my first trip abroad.
Oh, like super.
Alone.
Yeah.
And I decided to go alone because you open up to meeting a lot of new people in a different way than if you go with someone you already know.
Uh-huh.
And since I come from Sweden, I would probably bring someone from Sweden and talk Swedish with that person instead of talking English to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that I came, and that I came alone, and I got to meet Dan and Fab, so I'm quite glad. And Fab is a big Flutter fan as well.
Yes, so. Fab has promised me an episode, but I haven't seen that episode yet, so we're waiting in hope for that day.
Yeah, we were actually supposed to exchange interviews, but we didn't have time.
Yeah, it's a bit of a problem here. But we will get on it.
Yes,
it will happen. With the miracle, there's this thing called the internet, I believe, where you can do things remotely.
I've heard about like Skype or Mumble or stuff.
Mumble's
like that.
Actually quite cool. We have our own Mumble channel on hackerpublicradio.org. If you go to contribute, you'll be able to see more information about how you too can record a collaborative podcast here on the network. So you had a little bit of I don't know if you want to talk about it.
No, we can talk about it. It's a funny story by now.
You had a little bit of an incident, let us say, arriving over here.
Oh, yeah. Probably the so-called friend will hate me for saying this publicly in a radio, but it's his own fault. Basically, as I said, it's my first trip abroad.
Uh-huh.
It's my first time flying.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. How was that for you?
Oh, that was awesome. Yes. I was like, I landed and was like, yeah, I can fly again, no problem. Turn on my phone, get a text message. Oh, I can't meet you at the airport. I was supposed to stay there. I arrived on Monday.
You had organized to stay with some person.
Yeah, from Monday to Friday until I got the hotel for the conference.
Uh-huh.
And I get a text message like, is it okay if you stay somewhere else? I'm like, no, it's not okay. And I can't reach him. I get a panic attack, which I can laugh at now, but it was so many other things that just had built up, so I just released everything.
So somebody had told you, you can come and stay in my house, and then I'm going to pick you up at the airport, and then you arrive at the airport and...
Yes, exactly.
Nothing?
Yes.
And what did you do then?
Thanks to the community and social media, I managed to get people to help me. Because what I needed was to know that someone was helping me, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I could have gotten a hotel. But in my mind, that it didn't really...
That's not the point.
Yeah, it didn't really work.
The community let me down, sort of thing.
Yes. So I managed to get a hotel thanks to someone that I told him, you basically saved my life. And then the next day, I realized that a friend of mine lives here in London. Well, lives in London, mm-hmm. So I could stay at her the rest of the week. So that was a good thing. And she's actually the founder of Geek Girl in Sweden.
Oh, cool.
So it's like...
Well, it's kind of a bit poignant, I guess, where I was just watching on the news this morning because of all the riots. They want to shut off social media.
Yeah,
and
actually landed
and everything.
Yeah, I landed in the middle of the riots. So my cry for help probably got lost under the London tag.
Yeah, yeah.
But social media has, the internet in general has a lot of... There's so many people with good and big hearts out there just waiting to help someone else.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. And there wasn't Sure, it was one specific guy that got me the hotel room, but there were so many people reaching out their hands, and like, even if they only retweeted and reshared, they basically saved my life that night. So, it's internet for me is like amazing.
So, have you enjoyed the? You know, we're at the end of the show. I mean, the show is over. The pub is closed. Have you enjoyed your trip?
Yes, I have. Overall, it's been a good trip. This weekend actually did make up for it because I've been sick all week as well.
Yeah.
Probably because, you know, you're on a vacation, your body's like, oh, I can relax now, releases all the sickness in you.
And the food is different and everything else that goes on.
But I had an amazing weekend, so I'm really happy
to be here.
Did you
get to see any talks at all?
Yes, I think I was on talks like every slide, but... Am I supposed to remember?
No. Just, if something jumps out at you. Then.
I did mention Lorna already.
Yeah.
I watched the Nanode.
Yeah.
And for myself, I know the one of the guys who founded Arduino, because I've been in a workshop with him because he lives in Malmö. Uh-huh. So it's like, even though he's from Spain or something. I liked watching the live recordings, like the both for the Linux Outlaws and the
Ubuntu UK podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And also the Dick Turpin Roadshow.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't listened. Well, I did listen to their first episode, which wasn't that good, and everyone knows that. Who has listened to it? Exactly. But I will probably start listening to them now. Yeah. From
as I said over the weekend, just on Hacker Public Radio is a great way to do your first podcast because you know you're not leaving that trail behind. You can, you know, wet your feet here in Hacker Public Radio, and then if you want to go on and start your own podcast like other people have done, then you can start as a professional, and then you know when people go back to episode one, it's something you can be. And I guess proud of or whatever, not embarrassed by possibly.
I did some online radio, like web radio, before I knew of podcasts, probably before they even arrived.
Yeah.
So like going into podcasting is an interesting idea for me, and I've actually thought about it for Flutter and for the community, like doing either a video cast or a podcast.
Can I just recommend Hacker Public Radio as a great way to get your show out there to a ready and waiting audience?
Yeah, I already have like other hacker related subjects that I could bring up, so I will probably get on there.
Absolutely fantastic, looking forward to
it. And I will get on there with this, so.
Yeah, exactly. You've earned your badge, don't worry about it. What is, you know, when you're going back, I guess, what would you think was the best point? What do you think was the low point of the weekend? Obviously, maybe
the low point
we've already
of the weekend.
Covered the low point.
Yeah,
of the
that wasn't really the weekend, but I've had a cold.
Yeah.
So, but the high point was probably when Stuart Ack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, came up to me and told me that I really presented Flutter in a good way for him to accept it. And that I'm doing a good job as a community manager, and that I should read two books to do a better job.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I brought up Flutter to Richard Stallman.
Oh, yeah?
At a presentation. And it was about a discussion about, you know, cache and traceability and whatever. Now, obviously it was Richard Stallman, so I guess probably not applicable, the reply was, you know, what do you do to protect somebody's identity from poking noses, I guess?
Well, you don't really have to reveal any information about yourself except to, like, us, and we are dealing with money, so it's a lot of red tape to get around, but we do think privacy is really important. And we look into as many different ways to like get your cash out and get your cash in to the system, except for like PayPal, because we have to use them. It's like a means to an end. But I'm not sure if that answers your question, but it's like,
do you keep logs of people's IP addresses?
Only for, well, I'm not sure about the IP addresses, because that's not my area of specialties, but I know that we only log for as long as we have to, since we're dealing with money.
Yeah, so you have the financial requirements because you're a financial organization, so I guess,
But then we'll, then they're removed, so.
This is probably a kind of left field. I don't know what that expression means, but I've heard it on a lot of podcasts and movies. So, have you any plans to integrate something like Bitcoin into your...
We have that discussion a lot and get that question a lot. We would love to, but the thing is, we only work with one currency, which affects the system a lot if we would bring in another currency. But what we are looking for is a way...
What currency is that, by the way?
Euro.
And is that okay for UK people to donate, and then I guess it gets transferred into euros? Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, okay, I lost my track.
I'm good at that. I can rewind. About Bitcoin, we were talking about
Bitcoin. What we could do, we're looking for a way to, because people who already have Bitcoin, there's like Bitcoin to credit card. And if they can do that transaction, they can get the money into our system. Yeah. But it wouldn't be Bitcoin money, but it would be the money that they've already earned in Bitcoins.
Yes, so they've done an exchange, they've converted it to cash.
So we want to be able to enable that.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there anything else in the interview that I haven't covered?
No, it feels good. I can say, just for, you know, people who are interested in implementing Flutter to their site or whatever, we have a new REST API coming out soon. We're totally reworking it, so it would be as good as it needs to be to do a good integration to maybe to support like your users and everything on your site. So if you want to develop something for Flutter, you should wait for a bit until it releases.
Okay. Yeah.
But it don't have a date yet.
So you got a website or something? I should have asked this question obviously a few 20 minutes
Flutter.
ago. But how do I post the flutter.com and I create an account, and then what happens?
Well, it depends on what you want to do. Do you want to receive money or give money or both?
Say receive money.
Yes, receive money. Then you create your account and you decide where you want to put your buttons, because you know, people click on the buttons, like a retweet or a plus one or a Facebook like.
Are they like a JavaScript piece of code,
yes,
or can it be a regular
But there, link? There are static buttons, and you can have a regular link as well. But it depends. And we're actually working. Okay, we're working on the possibility to have a static picture that's dynamic, without JavaScript.
Okay, cool. I like this.
So we'll see what happens there.
And then if you're, say you decide, well, I want to be able to contribute 10 euros a month.
Yes.
What do I do then?
Personally, I would decide how many months would I be able to put into the system now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you don't have to put in money each month.
Yeah.
So you put in as much money as you feel comfortable with. There will be like a bar where you can decide if you want to donate 2 euros or 3 or 5 or 10 or up to 100 for every month. And then if you wanted it to be 10, you choose 10. And then you just go around like crazy and click things that you like or try to support, or you find their Twitter accounts and you tell them you can like add a pending click to a Twitter account, and when they connect the Twitter account to Flutter, they claim their clicks. So if you want to get in people who aren't already on the system, you can do it that way.
Okay, so the Linux Outlaws guys obviously have a Flutter button. Do the Ubuntu UK guys have one?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
They should have, though.
Yes, they should have. But a lot of other like great projects do. GNU does. GNU, yes.
Does it?
Yes.
GNU Richard Stallman, who I was talking about a few months ago.
It's not, he is not the one that runs the project anymore. But they do have a button.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if they have it on their site, but they're in the system.
Yeah.
Creative Commons Oh, supportable. Works, yes. Yes, we were really thrilled when they joined. Crunchbang Linux.
Yes.
Linux Mint.
Very good.
CyanogenMod, if you want it for your Android phone.
Yes, very much.
GPotter, Miro, SparkleShare. There's like a lot of
things. There's a lot of projects. Yes. Now say, okay, I want to donate to Crunchbang every month.
Yes.
Can I just do that without the pain of actually going there and clicking the whole time?
Yes. There's actually, you can subscribe to a click.
Yeah.
So you can decide, like, you first you click it for this month, and then you decide there's a subscription. So it basically, if you have the dynamic button, it turns over, so you get, like, it says subscribe, and then you choose 3, 6, or 12 months. And I'm not sure if it's done yet, but we have on our way to get emails when your subscriptions are about to expire.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
So you're going to come over next year?
I hope so. If nothing gets in the way, I want to be here because I've had an amazing weekend.
So have I. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here.
Yes, I will.
And tune in tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.